Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Hello again and welcome to the programme, or as we say sometimes in Ireland, and when we say it in Irish, Cead Míle Fáilte, as in 100,000 welcomes. And I do hope that you will stay with me until 7 o'clock. Thank you very much to Dave for looking after you, looking after us for the last 2 hours. And he's back with you again tomorrow for the final edition of this week of The Daily. So safe home, Dave. I know he's doing battle on the A7 as we speak. So safe journey, and look forward to chatting to you again. The time ran out there. My apologies. So we could yak on all day about bits and pieces. That's the thing, when we don't see each other on a regular basis, it's nice when we get the couple of minutes at the end of Dave's programme to have a quick chat, but then sure, we figure we could chat for ages and ages and ages. Anyway, I'm with you until 7. There's a lot to try and squeeze in between now and then. I mentioned to Dave that there is a lot happening in Ireland at the moment, and there is. I'll try and keep you up to date with as much of the news and information as I possibly can. There'll be some music in there as well. Compliments of our featured artist, Alton Conlon is the man's name. I find it very hard to say that without stopping after Alton, but anyway, that's just a tongue thing, I would imagine. Alton is from County Galway, and he's got a wonderful voice, has some wonderful music under his belt. And if you like what you hear, well, then you can find more of it on Spotify, and you can find it on YouTube and various places like that. All right. So Alton this evening on the programme twice. We'll also have the number one song in Ireland on this very day back in 1978. And it's one that I think I've played on the programme before, and I think you will enjoy it as well. So looking forward to giving you that. Patricia Traynor has a great story for us. And in fact, the story that Patricia has for us today links in very nicely with somebody who's going to be talking online next week as part of an initiative by the Irish Embassy in Madrid. And I'll give you more information on that very shortly. George Lee makes a welcome return to us as well, and he'll be telling us about the origins of the song The Rose of Tralee. And as I said, plenty of music and news in there too. So what will we do? Will we start? I think we will. We'll start with Alton Conlon. And before I do that, actually, should I tell you that if you would like to get involved in the programme, you can send a WhatsApp if you'd like to +34 645 99 67 95, or you can send an email to studio@tre.radio. My own email address, by the way, is ger@tre.radio, so please feel free to use that as well if you would like. Here is a song that I know I've definitely played for you on one occasion at least, from Alton Conlon. It's called The Measure. Enjoy it.
In my mind, it's not on my plate, and I got a dime. I got a dime. Give me something to work for, come rain, hail, or shine. Been taking it easy, but I find that it's rough. With no money to pay for all the usual stuff. No, I ain't got a dime. No, I ain't got a dime. There's a time and a place and so much space to toe the line. Could this be the measure of me and the whole of you? I want to get lost inside, hit that perfect groove before it all comes true. Get a measure on who we are. Paul came down from Longford town, threw his weight around with the in crowd, and he made some noise, scared off all the good guys. Give us something to play for, now that the city has lost all of its life. Could this be the measure of me on who we are. Boogaloo, now country tune. Won't be long till I'm loving you all over again. Yeah, just like way back when. We'll be yours, we'll be mine, come rain, hail or shine. Could this be the measure of me and the whole of you? I want to get lost inside in that perfect groove.
His name is Alton Conlon and he comes from County Galway. That's a song that's called The Measure. If you get a chance, take a look. Look at it on YouTube because there's a fabulous video that goes with it, shot in black and white, and it's footage from the old dance hall days and the music is put to it and it is lovely. Yeah, it's really nice and you don't hear me too often talking about music videos. I was never into them really and still aren't, but sometimes you come across nice ones and I thought I'd give that a mention for you. Alton, we'll have a second track from him on the programme today. I'm going to take a quick break right now. Come back to me just after that. I've got some information for you and we might take the first of our guests as well. Come back to me just a moment.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Welcome back to the programme. Nice to have your company on this Wednesday evening. Don't forget, if you would like to get in touch with us, you're more than welcome to do that. You can send an email to studio@tre.radio or you can send a WhatsApp message to +34 645 99 67 95. Now, yesterday I was on Monday and yesterday for Selena, taking a couple of days break, and she was back with you today in flying form. So she was. And yesterday I got a message from Kathy, and I've had a message from Kathy on a number of occasions when I was filling in for people previously, and she mentioned that it was her birthday tomorrow, Thursday. She also mentioned that her daughter was born the same year I was born. Sure, she must be a smashing girl altogether. Wish her a happy birthday whenever that is, whenever it comes up. But Kathy, or Kathleen Dunford, is celebrating her birthday tomorrow. So Kathy, in the hopes that you're listening, a Dublin girl, she says, from Alicante, now living in Kent. Well, happy birthday to you tomorrow in advance. So there you are. I didn't forget get you. No, I didn't. So how could I possibly, when I took note of it straight away yesterday, as promised? No. You know what? This day, fortnight, is St. Patrick's Day. And ordinarily, last year it didn't happen because I think it was around this time that we cancelled things in Benalmádena and Torremolinos for the St. Patrick's Day celebrations 2020. So if Terry McKinley is listening from the Irish Association, he will remember that fateful decision, but it turned out to be a correct decision after all. And, you know, there's going to be very little happening across the world. The greenings will be going on. I'll talk to you about that in just a moment. But there will be some virtual events or some online events that are happening. I'm going to make a connection next week, hopefully, on the programme, the 10th of March, with a chap in Austin in Texas, because there is a very active Irish organization there, and I came across them over the Christmas period in relation to something else, and so I made contact and I said, look, let's do something about St. Patrick's Day, just to have something different, because I don't think we've spoken to anybody from Austin previously about St. Patrick's Day. So I'll be doing that next week. I'm also hoping to find out what will be happening in relation to the Department of Foreign Affairs and the embassies across the world as well, but we'll get more information on that. But it brings me to tell you about a host of international landmarks. We'll be joining the Global Greening, you know, this initiative that happens each year. For the very first time, there's going to be a whole load of new people, including the most northerly greening in the world ever, Right, this is a postbox. Yeah, a postbox at the summit of a mountain in Norway. Now, I think it's called Ørtoppen Mountain. My Norwegian isn't exactly up to scratch, so forgive me if you're from Norway and you hear me doing that. It's O with a line through it, Ørtoppen. That's where this postbox is. It's 350 kilometres above the Arctic Circle. So that's that's brilliant. That's fabulous. The Palm Fountain in Dubai, the Torre Consanera in Chile, Bled Castle in Slovenia, and Pacific Park on the Santa Monica Pier in California are among other landmarks that will go green for St. Patrick's Day for the very first time in 2021. Yesterday, Tourism Ireland announced details of some of the famous attractions and sites around the world which will go green to mark St. Patrick's Day. Other sites and buildings going green for 21 include Villa E1027 in Rockbrunn, Cap Martin in France. I have no idea whether I made a complete hames of that or not. That apparently was designed and built by an Irish architect and furniture designer by the name of Eileen Gray. The Leaning Tower of Pisa, the Niagara Falls, Victoria Falls, and the Welcome Sign in Las Vegas. Oh, and the London Eye. Now, I know that if you were watching television, the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here was broadcast from a castle in Wales. Forgive me, Welsh people, I cannot pronounce the name of that castle, but that castle is also going to be going green this St. Patrick's Day. So it's nice, isn't it? I think it's lovely to see that happening. Now, talking of St. Patrick's Day and the embassy, I mentioned we're going to try and get some information if we can and bring it to you next week as to what they're doing for St. Patrick's Day. But for now, take a listen to this. I think a lot of people will be interested, and it leads us into our story with Patricia. The Embassy of Ireland in Spain has organised an online conversation between historian Tim Fanning and writer Keith Payne to discuss Mr. Fanning's book, The Salamanca Diaries, Father McCabe and the Spanish Civil War. Now, we've covered some of this before on this programme. The event is going to be taking place between 5:30 and 6:30 Spanish time, CET, next Tuesday, the 9th of March, okay? There is no need to register in advance, as attendees will be able to view the event directly by simply logging on to the Department of Foreign Affairs website. Now, I can't give you the full address because it's too long and you won't remember it. But if you remember this, Department of Foreign Affairs, that's DFA. All right. So it's dfa.ie. And when you go there, just search for Salamanca Diaries and it'll bring you straight to the page and you'll be able to view it on that. All right. Now, Tim Fanning is a writer and historian with a particular interest in Spain and Latin America. His book is called one of the books that he wrote is Pesanos, The Countryman, The Forgotten Irish Who Changed the Face of Latin America, has been published in Irish, Argentinian, Colombian and US editions. In the course of his work on the Irish links with Latin America and Spain, Tim Fanning came upon the diaries of Father McCabe, a County Cavan native who was the rector of the Irish College in Salamanca. In his book, The Salamanca Diaries, Father McCabe and the Spanish Civil War, Fanning draws on McCabe's diaries to provide a fascinating account of life in turbulent times and McCabe's astute impressions of various Spanish and Irish figures that he encountered. Keith Payne, who will be talking with Tim Fanning, is John Broderick writer in residence for 2021. And for those of you that might not know what that is, the John Broderick Residency is a writer in residence award based at the Aidan Heavey Library in Athlone in County Westmeath. And it's funded through a bequest in the will of the Irish novelist John Broderick. So anyway, that's who Keith Payne is. All right. That's a superb event. It's happening next Tuesday and it's happening between 5:30 and 6:30 Spanish time. That's PM Spanish time. Okay. Now, it leads me on to my stories, the new stories with Patricia Traynor. As you know, Patricia joins us regularly and brings us wonderful stories. And today her story has a Latin American connection. And in fact, we're going to do a series as she will outline to you right now. So let's listen to Patricia.
Well, hello, Ger. José Antonio Sierra has often pointed out that there are strong links between Ireland and Latin America. And so I'm going to talk about one of those important links. I wonder how many people know that the founder of Argentina's Navy was an Irish man called William Brown, or Guillermo Brown, as they called him. And he was born in Foxford in County Mayo in 1777. Now, he went to Philadelphia in the United States with his father when he was about 10. However, his father died shortly after, and William was left on his own. Well, apparently he was spotted by a merchant captain who saw him walking around the docks, and he took pity on the boy and offered him work as a cabin boy on a ship. That was the beginning of his life as a merchant sailor. Later, he was press-ganged into an English ship where he learned those maritime skills which would open doors for him in later life. He served 12 years in the British Navy and worked his way up to becoming a high-ranking officer. He took part in the Napoleonic Wars, and although he was captured by the French, he managed to escape. He went to Germany and from there to England, and when he was in England, he married a woman called Elizabeth Chitty in 1809. By 1810, Brown had acquired formidable naval skills and was captain of a merchant ship. He began trading arms and munitions across the Rio de la Plata estuary. Now, he'd heard about the commercial opportunities of Buenos Aires, and so he decided to seek his fortune there. In 1812, he and his wife moved permanently to Buenos Aires, and they bought a piece of land where they built a house called La Casa Amarilla, which means the yellow house. Well, we all know that there's a white house and a pink house. Well, now we've got a yellow house. In 1814, the Buenos Aires government discovered Brown's exceptional naval skills and offered him command of a small fleet of ships with the rank of lieutenant colonel. Now, this was to be Argentina's first naval battle against the Spanish, and Brown was determined to show those who had faith in him that they had not underestimated his naval skills. His mission was to blockade Montevideo and to protect Buenos Aires from attack. He was greatly outnumbered by the Spanish fleet, and a fierce battle raged. Brown's ship, which was called the Hercules, suffered sustained fire and was holed in more than 80 places. The ship had also run aground, so it was an easy target for the Spanish. However, Brown ordered his men to keep firing all during the night while he patched up the holes in the ship using leather and tar. At high tide, the ship freed itself, and Brown went on, despite all odds, to make a landing on the island of Martin García. Now, this island was used by the Spanish to control the harbour area, and the strategic operation led to the defeat of the Spanish, and Brown returned to Buenos Aires a hero. He had achieved the impossible. No one doubted that they had made the right choice in Brown. He has since been recognised as the father of the Argentine Navy. Brown even named one of his daughters, Martina, in remembrance of this great victory in taking the island Martin García and the humiliating defeat of the Spanish. This was only the beginning of his outstanding battles. He was a master mariner and excelled in stubbornness in overcoming formidable challenges, whether it was defeating the Spanish fleet or when navigating the dangerous currents of the River Plate. He was a difficult man to work for, as he had a severe temper and expected everyone to be as tenacious and hardworking as he himself was. His life was not without difficulties. In fact, he was imprisoned at one time for attempting to export money illegally. He contracted malaria and suffered for many months, both physically and mentally. He was taken prisoner and called a pirate by the British. In 1819, he contracted typhoid. He attempted suicide by throwing himself off the roof of a three-story building, but miraculously he survived, although with a broken leg. In 1847, Admiral Brown went back to Ireland with his daughter to show her his native Foxford. It must have been an emotive trip for them both, seeing the place he was born and remembering the day he left Foxford to accompany his father to America. He could never have imagined what life had in store for him. His outstanding feats and excellent naval strategies will never be forgotten, and he will always be remembered as the founder of the Argentine Navy. His yellow house no longer exists, but a replica was built, and it's now a museum dedicated to William Brown, or Guillermo Brown, the Argentine hero. The Brownian National Institute was founded in 1948 to carry out research into Argentine's naval history and to preserve William Brown's life and military achievements in cooperation with both the Argentine and the Irish governments. He died on the 3rd of March, 1857, and was buried with full military honours. The Argentine government issued a communique, and this is a quote, they said, "With a life of permanent service to the national wars that our homeland has fought since its independence, William Brown symbolised the naval glory of the Argentine Republic." And during his burial, General Bartolomé Mitre famously said, "Brown, in his lifetime, standing on the quarterdeck of his ship, was worth a fleet to us." He is buried in the Recoleta Cemetery in Buenos Aires. Ireland issued a commemorative stamp honouring his memory in 1957, and Argentina has issued many commemorative stamps to him over the years. The most recent was in 2014. Interesting, in 1982, the Wolf Tones wrote a song entitled "Admiral William Brown." There are statues of William Brown in both Dublin and Foxford in Ireland. Foxford has a museum honouring its famous countryman and the role he played as founder of the Argentinian Navy. The statue that is in Dublin was brought back from Buenos Aires in 2006 in a boat of the Irish Naval Service called Le Etne, which had sailed from Ireland to Buenos Aires to participate in the commemoration ceremonies of Brown's death and to share in the tributes to that great Irish naval hero of Argentina. They were delighted to be given a statue of William Brown to be brought back to Ireland, and that statue now has an honoured place in Dublin. Bertie Ahern, who was the Irish Taoiseach, said on the 27th of September 2006, on the occasion of unveiling that new statue of Brown on Admiral Brown Way in St. John Rogerson's Quay in Dublin, and this is a quote from Bertie Ahern, "Back in 2001, it was my honour to lay a wreath at the Admiral Brown Monument in Buenos Aires and to unveil a plaque commemorating my visit there. I brought away with me a clear sense of just what a significant figure William Brown is in Argentine history, as well as a real idea of just how strong the links are, past and present, between our two countries. The name of William Brown, or Guillermo Brown, is to be found on many streets in Argentina, and many Argentinian warships are named after William Brown, as are a number of football clubs. Who would have thought it? An Irishman, the founder of the Argentine Navy and a national hero."
There you go. Who would have thunk it, as the fella says. Thank you to Patricia for that, and we look forward to another story about how an Irish person or Irish people contributed to Latin America when we next join her for a story. You may have heard the reference there to the Wolf Tones song. They did indeed write a song, and I suppose you thought, ah yeah, Sweeney's going to play it now. Not on your Nelly. I took a listen to it. It's a grand song. It's a rebel song. And I just thought, no, you know what? It's not really. No, let's not do that. So I didn't, but feel free to look it up yourself, the Wolf Tones and Admiral Brown, Admiral William Brown, and you'll hear the reason why I didn't play it. I just thought, let's not mess things up now, shall we? But I am going to play some music. I thought of something else I wanted to refer to as well when I was listening to Patricia there, but I'll think about it and I'll bring it to you in a minute. Anyway, somebody who celebrates his birthday this coming week is a young man that I had the pleasure of introducing along with his colleagues on stage definitely once, if not twice, in Ennis and County Clare. And that is a man by the name of Finbar Clancy. Now, Finbar Clancy would be the son of Bobby Clancy, one of the Clancy brothers that sang with Tommy Makem And Finbar was born in Carrigashore in County Tip, and he was born on the 5th of March back in 1970. And I, as I said, enjoyed the company of the High Kings on a couple of occasions. They're terrific lads, great singers, wonderful entertainers, and I thought we'd give them a spin this evening.
Routin' doutin diddly outin', routin' doutin' die, and a routin' doutin diddly outin', deetin doutin' do, dither a dump, doutin' routin' dum, a routin' deetin' da, further a do, a dither a routin' doutin diddly outin' da. A routin' doutin' diddly outin', routin' doutin' da, and a routin' doutin' diddly outin', deetin' doutin' do, dither a dum, doutin' routin' dum, a routin' deetin' da, further a do, a dither a routin' doutin' diddly outin' da. A routin' doutin' diddly outin', routin' doutin' da, and a routin' doutin' diddly outin', deetin' doutin' do, dither a dum, doutin' routin' dum, a routin' deetin' da, further a do, a dither a routin' doutin' fiddly outin' da. I am a little beggar man, a beggin' I have been for 80 or more in this little Isle of Green. I'm known from the Liffey down to Sibiu, and I'm known by the name of old Johnny Doo. Of all the trades that's going, I should beggin' is the best, for when a man is tired, he can sit down and rest. He can beg for his dinner, he has nothing else to do, only cut around the corner with his old rig-a-doo. A routin' doutin' diddly outin', I slept in the barn right down in Curraghon. A wet night came on and I slept till the dawn, with holes in the roof and the rain coming through, and the rats and the cats, they were playing peekaboo. But who did awaken but the woman of the house, with her white spotty apron and her calico blouse? She began to frighten and I said, boo, Ara, don't be afraid, mum, it's only Johnny Doo. I met a little flaxy-haired girl one day. Good morning, little flaxy-haired girl, like I say. Good morning, little beggar man, and how do you do? With your rags and your tights and your old rig-a-doo. I buy a pair of leggings and a collar and a tie, and a nice young lady I'll fetch by and by. I'll buy a pair of goggles and colour them blue, and an old-fashioned lady I will make her too. Packed on me back, over the fields with me great heavy sack, with holes in me shoes and me toes peeping through, singing skinny-rinky-doodle-o and old Johnny Doo. I must be going to bed, for it's getting late at night, the fire's all raked and out goes the light. So now you've heard the story of me old rig-a-doo, it's goodbye and I'll be with you, says old Johnny Doo.
Yay, lovely, absolutely brilliant. That comes from the High Kings, and it's a song that's called The Little Beggar Man, and we play that because Finbar Clancy celebrates his birthday today, born on the 5th of March back in 1970, so Friday will be his birthday, so wish him a happy birthday. Right, yes, I remember what I was going to tell you after Patricia. I wanted to say to you that Patricia has been contributing stories to the programme for over 2.5 years, and there's quite a number of them. There's probably in excess of 30-35. And because lockdown is a great chance, a great opportunity to slow down and not be able to do things, but you can get stuff done that you've been trying to do or promising to do for a long time. And one of those things, one project I wanted to do, was gather all of the stories that Patricia has given us over the 2 years and put them out there as podcasts so that people can listen to them. So wherever you get your podcasts, if you would fancy listening to stories from Patricia, you find it under Patricia Trainor, TRAINOR, and I think we called it Stories from and About Ireland, but look for Patricia Trainor and you'll find it, as I said, whether it is on Spotify or whether it is on iTunes or Google or wherever it is that you get your podcasts, you will find it there. All right, and the one that you heard today will be added to it in the next 24-48 hours or thereabouts as well. Right, I'll tell you what we do, what we really, really do, as the Spice Girls nearly said one time. Let's do a quick break, come back to me after that, and I will introduce you to the song that was number one in Ireland on this day back in 1978.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
And that would be me. As always, if you'd like to get in contact with the programme, you're more than welcome to do so. And you can do that very simply by sending a WhatsApp, if you'd like to, +34 645 99 67 95. I nearly forgot there for a second. Our studio at TRE.radio for the emails. You probably know that Irish horse trainer Gordon Elliott is in quite a lot of difficulty at the moment, and he will not be allowed to race horses in Britain while the investigation in Ireland continues into the image that appeared on social media over the weekend. The news is a major announcement only 2 weeks out from the start of the 21 Cheltenham Festival. Elliott has apologised profoundly for any offence that was caused after the picture was released of the trainer sitting on a dead horse on the gallops. But British authorities have reacted and on Monday evening revealed their decision, with the IHRB already having launched their investigation. Owners of horses trained by Elliott will be permitted to transfer them to a different trainer and run them at a British meeting, provided they comply with relevant rules. And I know that an awful lot of horses have actually been taken from his stables already, some very high profile horses. Indeed, prominent owners Noel and Valerie Moran's company Ecom Merchant Solutions has terminated its contract as Gordon Elliott's yard sponsor. It was confirmed on Tuesday night that the company sponsorship associated with Elliott has ended. The statement cited the reason as recent events, as Elliott faces an Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board investigation on Friday. And he has been on record as saying that he will fully cooperate with that inquiry. A lot of discussion, a lot of column inches on the Irish papers, a lot of discussion on TV and radio programmes about this as well. So many people feeling sorry for him. Quite a lot of people angry about what had happened as well. So it's interesting, but there is another story about to break, or has just broken in the last 24 hours. The Irish horse racing chiefs have launched a probe into a new video circulating on social media. The Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board said in a statement that they are aware of further media content circulating and that the matter is under investigation. It's understood the investigation relates to footage which shows a man believed to be a jockey jumping on a dead horse. And those stories are going to appear, I would imagine, for quite some time as yet. So there we have it. Anyway, that's the trials and tribulations, unfortunately, of Irish trainer Gordon Elliott. And certainly would not like to be in his shoes at the moment. Right, this day back in 1978, the number one song in Ireland was sung by a man who unfortunately is no longer with us. He passed away in the latter part of 2019 or early 2020. I can't remember exactly. His name was Denny Doyle, from, I think, the Dublin area, and lived most of his life in the States. Well, most of the latter part of his life in the States. So let's take a listen to Denny Doyle and the number one song in Ireland on this day back in 1978.
Raised on songs and stories, heroes of renown, are the passing tales and glories that once was Dublin town. The hallowed halls and houses, the haunting children's rhymes, that once was part of Dublin in the rare old times. Ring a ring, rosy, as the light declines, I remember Dublin City in the rare old times. My name it is John Dempsey, as Dublin as can be, born hard and late in Pimlico, in a house that ceased to be. By trade I was a cooper, lost out to redundancy, like my house that fell to progress I trade to memory, and I could beg ye dying none as pretty as you please. Oh, a rogue and a child of Mary from the rebel liberties. I lost her to a student lad with skin as black as gold, when he took her off to Birmingham, she took away my soul. Ring a ring a rosie, as the light that climbs, I remember Dublin city in the rare old time. Have made me bitter, the drink has dimmed my brain, for Dublin keeps on changing and nothing seems the same. The metropole and pillar are gone, the royal long since pulled down, as the grey unyielding concrete makes a city of my town. So fare thee well, my Anna Liffey. I can no longer stay and watch the new glass gauges that rise up along the quay. My mind's too full memories to hold to hear new chimes. I'm a part of what was Dublin in the rare old times. Ring a rosy, as the light that climbs, I remember Dublin city in the rare old times. Ring a rosy, as the light that lines, I remember Dublin city in the rare old times.
Lovely song, isn't it? It comes from the late Danny Doyle. It's called Dublin in the Rare Old Times. It was number one in Ireland on this day back in 1978. Let's take a quick break. Come back to me just after that. I have some more news for you. And we'll also be joining George Lee, who's going to tell us about the origins of the song The Rose of Tralee.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Now, welcome back and welcome to the final part of the programme. Cork County Council. If you're from Cork, you might be interested in this particular story, or if you've ever been around a beautiful part of Cork with the name of Glengariff, you'd be interested as well. Anyway, Cork County Council sought a refund of a €33,000 grant after a statue of Hollywood star Maureen O'Hara proved not a good likeness and could not be used. However, the council ended up accepting €26,250 instead, and the unused statue, the cast bronze from which they believe will make up the difference. Now, Cork County Council had given Glengariff Tourism and Development Association the grant for the project back in November of 2018. The statue of the Dublin-born actress was to be unveiled in the town, which had become O'Hara's adopted home. However, the sculpture subsequently proved unacceptable to the local authority and was not considered suitable for installation, according to internal records. The records reveal the Cork County Council had been given back €23,000 last December, but of the remaining €10,000, a chunk of money had already been paid out for the sculpture. An internal email said, looking at this objectively, we were in the of the impression that an earlier stage that the entire €33,000 may be irrecoverable. I think to get back €26,250 is a reasonable outcome, and I think that we should close out the matter, a council official said. A senior colleague agreed with the proposal, saying, I would recommend that we accept this proposal on condition that the group transfer the existing statue that is unacceptable to Cork County Council. That way, the money that has been spent, we have something to show for it. We pay €33,000, we get back €26,500 almost, the difference being €6,750. And we have €6,750 worth of a bronze cast into a statue. An Irish solution to an Irish problem. these bronze statues and these things, they can cause a lot of grief and a bit of anxiety. I know in Limerick, there is a statue near the River Shannon of the late Terry Wogan to commemorate the fact that he was from Limerick. But at the time when it was put in place or installed, there was quite a lot of uproar because it didn't really look like the late radio and television star. And, you know, from a distance, it's not too bad, but up close, you know, I wonder how much of a refund may or may not have been sought for that. Anyway, that's just a story I thought you might be interested in if you were from the Cork area. Now, if you're from the Kerry area or you know anything about Kerry, you will know that there is a festival that happens on an annual basis, well, before COVID anyway, called the Rose of Tralee. Now, this song, there's a song as well called the Rose of Tralee, but it's not based on the beauty pageant that is the Rose of Tralee, because the song was written a long time before that. George Lee joins us occasionally to tell us about the origins of well-known songs, and here he is to tell us about the Rose of Tralee. Georgie.
Our song today is one of the most recognisable Irish airs worldwide. It's a song that has established a County Kerry town apart and has allowed tourism there to flourish. It has already doubled as Ireland's anthem at the Rugby World Cup and has sparked much debate about its authorship. The story begins with Mary O'Connor, a shoemaker's daughter who became a nanny to the children in the guardianship of John Mulchinock. The children's older brother, William, fell in love with Mary, and it is even said that he proposed marriage to her. However, fate intervened in a cruel way. Mulchinock was very political, and he had Republican leanings despite his Anglo-Irish background. He became involved in a row on Denny Street in Tralee one night, during which a man was killed. He was advised to leave the country straight away for his own safety, and he wound up in India. By the time it was safe enough for him to return home many years later, he had vowed to himself that he would marry Mary. However, on the day of his return, he met a funeral making its way to the churchyard, and he discovered that his beloved Mary had died a few days earlier, in poverty, at the local workhouse of tuberculosis. The heartbroken William went on to found the Kerry Star, and indeed married as well, but not before immortalising Mary and their love together in the song The Rose of Tralee. The pale moon was rising above the green mountain. The sun was declining beneath the blue sea when I strayed with my love to the pure crystal fountain that stands in the beautiful Vale of Tralee. She was lovely and fair as the rose of the summer, yet it was not her beauty alone that won me, oh no. 'Twas the truth in her eye ever beaming that made me love Mary, the Rose of Tralee.
When I strayed
I got lost in that song for just a minute or two, I would imagine. Absolutely stunning. The fabulous voice of the late Frank Patterson. We mentioned County Tipperary already on the programme when we spoke about Finbar Clancy. Well, Frank was born and bred in Clonmel in County Tipperary, and he sang that song so beautifully. Thank you to George Lee, another edition of The Singer and the Song, the story behind The Rose of Tralee. He'll be back with us again in a couple of weeks. There's a few stories that he has done and given to me, so we'll pick one of those and we'll hear from him again very shortly. Now, we've spoken about many a county today, but I want to talk about another one. Do you call it Mayo or is it Mayo? Only the people from that county know for sure. A stunning beach in County Mayo, as we call it, has been named as one of the best beaches in Europe by the leading travel publication Lonely Planet. In its latest roundup of sandy, wild and breathtaking beaches, the publication included Keem Bay, K-E-E-M, Keem Bay on Achill Island at the number 18 spot. That's brilliant. The prestigious publication, long the go-to resource for ambitious and adventurous travellers, has built a global following for its recommendations and insider travel tips. No matter your taste in beach, Europe obliges, they write, from the wild, wind-lashed shores of the Atlantic coast to mountain-fringed Arctic bays where whales raise their tails and the sunlit, snuggled-away coves of Italy and Greece. We bring you the cream of the European coast with these top 20 beaches. That's what they said. And writing about the beach in Keem Beach, the editors said, Ireland's wild Atlantic way hides a crock of gold when it comes, or comes dramatic coastlines, when it comes to dramatic coastlines, I guess, and nowhere more so than at gloriously remote Keem Bay at the far west of Achill Island. Well done. Nice one if you want to see it. If you just Google Lonely Planet best 20 beaches in Europe or something like that, it will come up for you, the full list. There are three there from Spain and there's one from Wales as well. So congratulations to our Welsh listeners. Aye, nice one. Okay, music-wise, let's take a second track from our featured artist on the programme today. He's from County Galway. His name is Ulton Conlon. And here's a track that's called The Golden Sands.
That turned my world upside down. I spied you there amongst the crowd. Now in this world we're all incomplete. The first and last true form these eyes have seen. Come sweep me off of my feet. You are my love, be it wrong or right. A love I have to hide. You're out. One changed your whole life. You saw a man, he took your breath away. Now you still hold it deep inside. I see you smile and you seem just fine, but there's a hurricane blowing inside. You are a bird without a flight. This love you have to hide. On a day I was so much younger in the summertime. A day I now know all about. This one shaped my whole life. I laid upon the golden sands with the warm breeze over me. I am that grain that blew away. You were the golden sands on the beach. You are my love throughout this life. Warmth and tenderness inside.
Song types on the program today from Alton Conlon, our featured artist. That's a track that's called The Golden Sands. That is my lot for today. I'm back with you on Friday, filling in for Giles Brown on GB Not GQ. So it'll be GS Not GB Not GQ between 4 and 6 on Friday. So I look forward to your company then. Can I say thank you to Patricia Traynor for her story today on William Brown, Admiral William Brown, and to George Lee for his story about the Rose of Tralee. Thank you very much for listening. But can I say also thank you to our constant, that is our Spanish-Irish cultural advisor, Jose Antonio Sierra. And we send greetings to Jose Antonio. We'll be hearing from him as well shortly. Yeah, I want to get him on air more often. Look after yourselves for the next week. While if you can't join me Friday, join me next Wednesday for another Live on Air. From me, bye-bye and thank you.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.